excited. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles with me while you remain standing. Take your Bibles and open to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2. El libro de Lucas. Don't get too excited, Pastor Joe. That's about as far as I go right there, man. Well, I can say versículo 10. That's about it. Then after that, it's just going to be a whole bunch of Spanglish. Nobody's going to understand me, so this will stay with English for me, all right? Or tongues, one of the two. All right, chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. How many feel the Spirit of God in this place tonight? Amen? Feel the presence? Hallelujah. How many feel the cold outside? Man, did you guys almost slip up on that ice out there? A little ice out there because we were trying to clean some stuff out there, and then it turned to ice, man. It's cold outside. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, we're going to read just two verses. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born," verse 11, "there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Father, we love you tonight, God, and we know your word is so powerful, it's so anointed. I just pray you anoint your servant. I pray you open every ear, every heart to receive, my God, what you want to speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, and everyone said together, amen. Now I want you to turn to somebody and say, a Savior. Amen. You can be seated. I've entitled this message tonight, "The Announcement That Changed the World." You know, you remember when they did the announcement, when I don't know, if for those of you who don't remember, those of you may not even care, but I'll never forget when Michael Jordan made the announcement he was retiring. I went into depression because I finally had a team that won all the time, like always, every year after year after year after game after game. And so, man, I was just tore up. I was like, come on, man, you're too young. And then I remember when they made the big announcement that he was going to play baseball, and I said, are you good at baseball? And I was right to ask that question because he was not good at baseball. But I'll never forget the night they said he's coming back. The announcement that he was coming back. And they came back, and what did they do? Won 3 more championships in a row. 1, there's nothing like great announcements. How many of you remember when we announced at Five Points that we were going to be leaving Five Points and going on a journey? None of you want to remember that, but you remember it, but nobody wants to remember it. Look at Sam saying, oh, I don't want to remember that. All you remember is having to park far is what it is. Because we had to park in Rio Grande High School, somewhere, wherever you could find a parking. And some of the people caught wind that, like, the ministers and some of the leaders were parking, like, right behind the back door. And one day I drove up, and, like, everybody was there. We're driving through the middle of Rio Grande High School. My wife looked at me. She goes, only in Victory Outreach. I'm talking about they have all the planters, all the sidewalks. You know, they walk for lunch, and they're out there studying. Everybody was driving through everywhere, just driving to get a parking. So we had to make an announcement. Park in the parking lot. They said, what parking lot? The one that's way over there. But how many remember the announcement when we said, we found a building? Yeah. Wait. I wasn't talking about this building. Some of you guys in here were in for the announcements, like when we were over there on 4th Street in the freeway. There was all kinds of, like, pigeons in there. And we said, this could be the place. We announced, we found a place. Then there was one down the street on 4th and Manal. And then there was one over there by Roosevelt Park. Not the one we just came out of, but the one at Roosevelt Park. And then there was I could be here all night talking about the announcement. I think we might have found the building where we're going to be. Then one day, after sitting right there, right about where you're sitting at, right there in the front, right there, there was these, you know, those other brown chairs we have, the ones that are kind of like thin? We have them like extras. Well, those ones there, they were all in here, packed out, like 300 chairs. I don't think we have 300 chairs anymore. You guys better check your houses. I know you got some at your house. I know you do. Bring them back, man. Don't be stealing from the house of God. But it's like, I remember there was 300 chairs here. The pastor said, you want to buy them? You can buy them from us. I said, okay, well, so we bought them from him. And so we needed extra chairs besides what we have. And so I remember sitting there and me and Sister Barbara sitting there, we're praying. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and we walked around and we prayed more and we prayed. We sat there and prayed. I even took a picture of us praying because I knew that one day we were going to want to. So I took a picture of us praying and you can see the picture of me and her just really, and it was a selfie prayer picture, but not a selfish prayer. And so I just wanted some history on that. And you know what's crazy is that God spoke to us and he said yes. And I remember when we went and he said, you know what, we found a building. We didn't say we found a building until we had the financing because I'd learned. So we got the financing. We said, okay, the people said yes. The pastor said yes to the price. The lending institution said yes, we're in. And we made the big announcement. He'd come for the big announcement. Everybody came. People that never come to church came. People hadn't been to church in a couple of years. Well, they dropped off the ship when we got into Westside Community Center. They said, you know what, I'll be back. And so anyway, you know, we were at Lead and we made the big announcement. It said, I think Kyle did the flyer. I'm pretty sure it was him that did it. It said big old red letters. I think I still have it. Announcement. Don't miss this big announcement. History. And so everybody's like, what? Pastor Danny's retiring? About time. No. Yeah. What's the big announcement? Somebody's sick. Everybody was thinking what? And some of you guys were thinking, I don't know what they're going to say. We're about to get a building again, but I ain't going to hold my breath. Not until I walk through that building and they say, and I say, that's why you notice when you walk through the hallways there, you see pictures of us with our broker and Sister Barbara signing documents saying, this is a contract, a mortgage contract, not a lease. You can zoom in on it and see that. We had to do that because you probably think, oh, are they leasing this place still? Because we couldn't do that. We couldn't take another announcement. That was the announcement we needed to make. Well, guess what? There's been a lot of people who have prophesied the coming of the Lord, 1985, this 88 reasons why you come in 88, and making all these announcements. Sometimes we make announcements. You know, I saw on Instagram, they made an announcement for, you know, they do the announcement for a baby, and then out of the pipes came pink. That's how I made the announcement. There's something about announcements. That's why I'm kind of saying something about making an announcement that, you know, that changes history. It changes. And tonight I want to talk about the announcement that changed everything, that changed the whole world. It just changed where you were going to have church, or that changed where you were going to live, or but the change that was going to change everybody and everything. Here the angel of the Lord says, "Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news, good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You see, the Messiah was about to bring joy to the world. That's what we sing, joy to the world. We sing it because he brought joy to the world. He brought joy to our hearts. Do you still remember? Do you still remember at the altar call or at that drama that you were at, that play you were at maybe, or maybe in the park rally, or maybe you were at a Bible study or wherever you were. Do you remember that day, that Easter service, that Christmas service maybe, where they finally drug you to church? You used to have a drug problem, but then they drug you to church and you had another kind of drug problem. You remember that? And they brought you, or maybe you came on a Wednesday night like tonight and you came with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you came and said, I don't even want to be here. But you came and you were there, and then somebody preached, man, a no name. You don't even remember who it was. It was somebody, just one of the guys. You didn't think, this guy's not going to say nothing. And then he said something that just penetrated your heart. Oh, my God, it penetrated your heart, and you ran up to the altar. And then afterwards, you went to him and said, hey, man, that word was for me. Did somebody tell you about me? Before you were like, who's that? That's not the pastor. Who cares about that? And then all of a sudden that guy preached, or that girl that preached, something happened. They made an announcement that God was about to do something new in their lives. They made an announcement that everything was going to become new now. And all of a sudden your life changed forever. Why? Because that's what happens when the Messiah shows up. That's what happens when Jesus shows up. That's what happened that night in the manger. That's why they came from everywhere. That's why the shepherds came looking for him. That's why the wise men came looking for him. Joy. The good news. Hope would be available for one time. And you know, there was some that finally understood that God's promises are true. Now look at the prophecies, just a couple of them in Isaiah 7 and 13 to 15. And chapter 7 says, then he said, hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but you will weary my God also? Therefore, and look, he prophesies. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You're talking about a prophecy that is so right on, it is so accurate. And he gives, the prophet gives us the prophecy so accurate that when it happens, you cannot even debate that Jesus is not true. It's too close. Look at the prophecies of his death. There's prophecies in Psalms that people would roll dice for his clothes. And it's right there, and they did it. They were like, And then all of a sudden somebody's looking at him saying, wait a minute, didn't we learn that at synagogue? Didn't Rabbi Grandpa teach us? Didn't he make us tie it around our hands and our, didn't we have it up right here in the Word of God? Didn't we have it? And then they just denied it. Can you imagine knowing that the prophecy was identical? Here, and then in chapter 9, look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 through 8, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David, he was in the lineage of David. Of the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, for even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And look what happens. So the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary, the young virgin, is with child. You see, during Christmas season, everyone is running around preparing. Man, I'll tell you right now, have you been to Costco? You been to the mall? You been to like Sam's Club or anywhere? It's wild out there. The other day, Sister Barb said, let's go. I got to stop here. So we pulled in and I said, I'll drop you right in the front, honey. Right in the front. I'm going to be, this is valet parking. Pulled her up right there like that. I go, you call me when you can. I'll pick you up right here, babe. She goes, how nice are you, babe? Awesome, awesome. And then by the time she was about on the second row, she thought, he got out of coming into Costco. Man, I thought I had him. After 40 years, I thought, man. But you know what happened is that I looked at all the cars and I said, no. There's something about Christmas that has everybody moving around, preparing, buying gifts. I think it was Pat that said something about buying gifts for people you don't even like or getting gifts. Some one of you guys said that. Baking those favorite cookies. Man, we have the best in our house. Nobody has the best? I said, we have the best cookies in our house. You got best? Where? Who's got best? I can't tell. I want to be the judge of that, okay? Let me test him and see. But the gifts, the baking. Now my mom started early making them banana nut breads before Christmas was even on the end of our lips. She goes, here, I made you guys a banana nut bread, and Me and Sister Barbara just devoured that thing. You know, people are making nostalgic and sentimental foods and all kinds of things going on. Christmas season, smell of Christmas, fire, Christmas trees. It's like everybody, it's sentimental, loved ones, everything. Everything's coming back, childhood, everything. There's so much put into Christmas. Lights, and today I walked in to Walmart and I go, hey, you got them fake luminarias? And they looked at me and he goes, like, today's the 13th, sir. I'm like, what are you talking about? The 13th, like people bought those a long time ago. I'm like, all right. So I go, where are the candles and where are the bags? They go, they're all right here. So I walked and got candles and bags. Because people have been out, I don't know about you, but my neighborhood, there's people that got snowmans, and they got huge snowmans, like 30-foot snowmans and Christmas trees and lights everywhere. And I go, Mark goes, are we going to put lights up? Yeah, we'll put some lights up. Just haven't got a chance to it. But everybody's decorating and, you know, I think we have 3 Christmas trees. We have a regular one. Then we got a baby one, and then another little baby one. And then my wife waited so that my granddaughters could come and do that one with her. And I'm like, man, this is just like festive Christmas season. We do all of that. All the busyness doesn't let us forget to prepare. We do all that stuff, and we're busy. And some of you are just so worried about you haven't finished shopping, and you haven't done this, and you haven't done that. And I just wanted to just tonight just tell you, don't be weary. Just settle down tonight. Settle down tonight and remember the reason for the season. Just remember it. Remember that. Don't let nothing just like squeeze you. It might squeeze the Christmas out of you. Don't let it. The announcement that changed the world. It brought joy. It brought a fresh start. It brought forgiveness. And Jesus is our greatest gift. I don't know about you, man, but there's no greater gift I could have ever received in all of the world than Jesus, man. Jesus is the greatest gift. He's done nothing but be good to me. The Bible says he loved us when we were yet sinners. He still loved us. What kind of God loves like that? I'll tell you what kind of God. A God that is willing to send his only son to die for us. That's the kind of God. See, Christmas is also a time, it's a time to celebrate, to celebrate. People say, well, according to the Hebrew calendar, and according to theologians, and I go, oh, cut it out. Man, you humbug, Scrooge, no pun intended. But what are Scrooge, like the bomb.com, like the best, like Scrooge ever? What you guys think? I think we should do it again. I think you guys ought to do it again. I think you ought to go to the mall and do it right in the mall. Like right in the center of the mall. If they shut us down, they do. If they don't, they're not going to know, Pat. As long as you guys get top hats and all that stuff like that, it would be the Snapchat of the world for all these snappers. It would be the Snapchat of all times. Watching you guys get thrown out. I'll say, I don't know those people. You guys ought to go set up your props. I know Michelle probably right now start be like, what? But set up the props and just set up shop right in the middle of the mall and just do like about 2 or 3 scenes of Scrooge right there, all dressed up and all the makeup and Kyle. I mean, they might call security on them, but you know, have 2 of them. Have 2 of those guys. And so, I mean, people are doing crazy things. Why not us? It's a time to celebrate the birth of our Savior. I love Christmas. Can you tell? Anybody that knows me, anybody that's known me for all my life knows I love Christmas. There's a couple of things I really love about Christmas. One of them is spending time with my family, obviously. That's the best thing. There's nothing better than that. I mean, of course, we know the Lord. That's a give me. But like, second is like family. And then there's this food. There's these certain things. Some of you know, some of you could care less, and some of you are like, when is that happening? And you know who you are. When are they making the children? It brings families together. My daughter, Natalie, my son-in-law, Maddie, my consentida, my little heart, little McKenna Moon, that little actress, she's just a talented, gifted little girl. I, I can't stand watching all those videos because she's just like, oh my God, how old is she? And she's amazing, right? But she's coming, man. And 7 days in a wake up. She'll be here, man. We're waiting, you know? But it brings families together, Christmas parties. We had a leaders, man, that was the best leadership party I've ever been to. It was lit. We weren't lit. It was lit. All right? Get that straight. It was awesome, man. Christmas parties. We got staff Christmas party this coming week. We walk up into those wherever we have in a restaurant, the staff, our administration staff, and we light that place up. Wherever we go, why? Because we got the Holy Ghost. We got the joy of the Lord on us. It seems like, to me, it seems like during Christmas time, people seem to let their guards down more. That's what I feel anyway. I know I do. You know. And it's like people are more open. It's a time where people, you know, engage in giving more. That's why Costco's full. That's why the mall's full, because people are going to get to give. It's a spirit of giving. Shop for everybody. Sometimes people borrow money, they mortgage money, they pawn money, like whatever, just to get gifts. Because there's a sense of, I want to give, I want to give, I want to give, I want to give. The gift of giving. One of the greatest joys is found in giving. Imagine nobody would give to Mary and Joseph that night. They knocked on the door. Excuse me, you got a room? No, we got a room. You got like a closet? Can I sleep on the floor anywhere? No. The doors were closed everywhere. The doors were closed everywhere. Finally, somebody said, there's a place out in the back there where the animals are at. If you guys want to, go ahead. Think about it for a minute. Nobody was willing to give. But when the Lord of all giving shows up, the Lord of all giving shows up, man. He shows up. And all of a sudden now for the rest of all time, people are giving every Christmas. Every Christmas, people just give and give and give and give. I don't know about you. I really don't like the shopping too much. You don't have this tradition. I only shop the day before Christmas. I've been doing it all my life. I run in. Sam, you've been with me, right? It's pretty cool, huh, the way we do it? Because if you say so fast, I switched him up. I go, I need you to go with me. We're, okay, where are we going? I'm in the car. It's too late, man. We'll go to the mall. Don't you try to jump out. The mall at this time of day, yeah. But that's just the way I do it. I go and I shop and, you know, a few times I think. It's just, I don't know about you, I love the giving of the gifts. I like the way my grandsons look when they open it up and say, Adidas? Really? And I also like when my grandkids look at the fake look, when they go, oh, this is awesome. And I mean, I love that too. But I'm just testing them, man. I usually like to give them that first, just to check their heart. Just check them. I'm just checking you, son. I don't know about you, man, but I love giving the gifts. I love to be able to see the expression on people's face, especially my grandkids, man, my daughters. I have a tradition that I've been giving my daughters. This is not recording this, right? I don't think of them right here. But I give them a $50 bill always, every year. I've been doing it for I don't know how many decades, a 50. And they always get a 50. And one year I didn't do a 50 on purpose. I did something different. It was cooler. They liked it, but I do a 50, and you should see them look in their face. They open the card. Awesome. Look at how nice this card. Let me read it out to you. And they close the card. They didn't care about that card. They want that 50. I love to hear those words. That's just what I wanted. And think about it for a minute. There's so much joy when we say, Lord, that's just what I wanted. I wanted my family back. Or I wanted a family for the first time in my life. Or I just wanted peace for the first time. I just wanted forgiveness. I wanted to be forgiven. Or I wanted to finally forgive. Lord, that's just what I wanted. Imagine how it makes the Lord feel when we prepare for Him a special gift. Even on Christmas Day, on our Christmas Eve service on that Sunday, the 24th, We've all been talking about this, and I just want to remind you that we're bringing our best. You know, you're buying a gift for everybody. Don't forget the Lord, man. Bring Him a gift. Bring Him a seed. Sow a seed on Christmas Eve. Walmart gets that seed, and Dillard's gets that seed, and Target gets that seed, and you know, dollar store gets that seed and Walgreens get that seed. That's easy to, you know. How many ready to prepare yourself? Listen, there's 12 more days in Christmas. On the 12th day. No, I'm not going to do it. But today's the 12th day of Christmas right here. Today, this is accurately the day, 12th day. But prepare your gifts for your people. Prepare your gifts for your family. Prepare gifts for your friends. But don't forget to prepare a gift for the Lord. Amen. Bring a special gift offering to the Lord on Sunday. Listen, all the festivities are amazing. But the festivities are nothing if it's not about the reason why we celebrate this season. It's a time to reflect. It's time to be thankful. It's time to remember. It's time to enjoy our salvation, to realize that this little baby born in a manger, in a cradle, who was destined to go to a cross, and he looked so beautiful and grew up so wise. You know, the story of when Mary and Joseph were looking for him, and they found him, and there he comes out of the temple, and he says, hey, don't you know, I was sent here to do something. I have a mission. You know, I'm about my daddy's business. I'm not here just to be playing with the kids, and I'm not here to do, I'm here for a reason. I've been obedient, but now I must begin to do what I'm called to do. And he begins to, they start seeing those, and nothing else written about him until his public ministry comes out when he's 30 years old. But what does he do? He goes right down to the river. Because he came alive in the river. He goes right down to the river. Somebody was singing that song. Not that song. There's another one. It's another song. You guys remember that song? Not that song. That's the song we sang. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me. All I want to see is that man walking on the water. Jesus is... You come alive in the river. He went down to the river. His public ministry starts down at the river. Walks down. See, there's always something about rivers, man. Israel going across the river. And there's something about the river. That's why, even though I had been water baptized, I just said, Lord, please, don't hold me to this. But they said, how many of you need to get baptized in the Jordan River when we went to Israel? And Sister Barbara's hand was right up after mine, too, like that. She'd been baptized way before that. Me too, but I just had to get baptized in the Jordan River because there's something about that river. It ain't the most beautiful river either. But let me begin to land this home if you want to come to the keyboard. It's about family and friendships. And even at work. Isn't it crazy? Some of your bosses are Scrooge. They soften up. Okay, go ahead and take an extra hour off. Just like Scrooge. Some of them giving you time off or maybe a basket or something. And, you know, I just say pour. If your boss is like mean or doesn't like that stuff, just pour the love of God on them. Give them some of them favorite cookies. Do something. Do something out of the ordinary. Instead of saying, I ain't going to give him no cookies. That guy don't deserve none of the cookies. Man, I'm eating those cookies. No. You do something that changes the world. Be an announcer. Like the announcement that changed everything. See, Christmas is a time of fresh beginnings for a lot of times. You know that? You know, New Year's is just a few days afterwards. Isn't it ironic that we start brand new on the 1st of January every year, and we start brand new, and that's our resolutions and everything we do. We start right there. Isn't it amazing how right Christmas prepares us for fresh beginnings? Christmas, everybody lets their hair down. People and families that don't even talk, they end up at the house still. And before you know it, by the time they leave, I'm sorry I haven't talked to you in 7.5 years. It's a time to start fresh with family and friends and people. And I know in our early days, me and Barb, Christmas really was a good catalyst for change for us. Things happened for us. When we were, our marriage was messed up. And that first year of salvation, that first Christmas was an amazing Christmas. I'll never forget it because that was a fresh beginning for us. All our Christmases were special even before that. Even though I was messed up, we still try to make Christmas special for our girls. And I don't think they missed a whole lot of that. But on the real, it was a fresh beginning for us. As I say, let this Christmas become a fresh beginning. Even if you don't got a whole lot, You know, if you don't got a tree or you don't got a lot of money or can't buy a lot of gifts, you know what? You are the gift. Be a gift. Be a gift to somebody. He is the gift. See, He's the gift of love. God knows how to fix things better than we can. Sometimes the smallest things can ruin our whole relationships and things and at work. And just put it down. God knows how to turn things around. And there's nothing greater than family. Nothing greater than family. And we're a church family, too. There's nothing greater than church family. You know, it's a good time to start. Let's give love. Let's give the gift of love this year. Let's give the gift of trust. Yeah, but I can't trust. Just give the gift of trust. Give the gift of forgiveness. Just give the gift. Be the gift this year. Be the greatest announcement. Be part of that. Amen? And secondly and lastly, it's also a time to realize that our God loves us so much that He was willing to give Himself as the gift of love and mercy and grace, and He sacrificed. He gave us a fresh start, a fresh beginning. Christmas is where love starts. Christmas is where love starts. If your heart's not in the right place with the Lord, then let it become in the right place with the Lord tonight so that you can start 2018. You can just bust open to 2018 like, you know what, I'm on the scene right now. And I don't care what 2017 looked like. I don't care what I was in 2016 or 2015 or 2014. All I know is 2018 is going to be my year. 2018 is going to be a year where I'm putting it all away. 2018, come on somebody. You gotta know that Christmas is a time of fresh beginnings. Fresh starts, guys. Even it might be for a new job, even. I just talked to somebody that comes to our church and said, I got a brand new job. I'm just waiting on it. It'll probably be at the first of the year. And they're so bogged down on the other job. They can't stand it no more. And God just blessed them with a new job. And they're so excited. It's a time for new beginnings for that individual. Those are the things that God wants to do in your life. It may not be a job, but it may be. Maybe God, 2018. Could be the year of your relationship that you've been waiting all your life for that true prince to sweep you off your feet. I'm not talking about the one you think. He already showed you he can't sweep you off your feet. All he wants you to take you, he just wants to use you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the prince, the real prince. You know, the Lord called us priests, princes. Don't you want a man of God, sister? Well, you just hold on. Brother, it could be 2018 is where fresh beginnings for you. The relationship that you always dreamed of could be in 2018. It could be that the investment you made a number of years ago, it could be that 2018 is a year that it comes to where it blooms. It could be the year 2018 could be the year that you finally start that business that you always wanted to start, and you become one of the most wealthy and amazing givers in our city. Why not you? Why not you? Why do you always want to say, well, that's for people? No. This could be your year. Let 2018 be a fresh year for you by starting tonight. You still got about 17, 18 days in this year. Let's make these next 12 days count and all the things we talked about. And then let's just begin to move right into 2018. Amen? Fresh beginnings. Christmas is where love starts, ladies and gentlemen. The angel declared, behold, I give to you good news, good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It doesn't matter who. Jesus Christ of Nazareth came to die for sinners like me, came to die for sinners like you. He came to die so that we could live. He came to pay a price that we owed, a debt that we owed and we couldn't pay. He came so that we might be alive in the river of His love. love. I'm here to declare to you tonight, don't you leave this place without making things right with God, making things right in whatever area it is. I believe with all of my heart tonight that tonight is where Christmas is. Just it. This is where you let's settle it tonight. Christmas is where love starts, man. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers the past. Love starts things that you could never finish. It starts it, then it finishes it, and then He gets the glory and He gets the honor. So all over this place tonight, if God has spoken to you, if God has given you a word tonight, and the way to do that, the way to say God has given me a word, God has spoken to my heart, the way you do that is by confirming it, by stepping forward to the altar and coming to the altar and saying, Lord, I bear witness with this word. This is where love starts. Whatever area, there's a whole bunch of steps we talked about, but God wants to give you a fresh start. Maybe you're not all messed up, but there's an area of your life. Or maybe you're all messed up. Maybe you're afflicted and addicted. Today, tonight, you come and you say, Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've spoken to my heart. As they sing this song, I want you to come from all over this place. Don't withhold God from God. You get a hold of Him tonight and let Him touch your heart. But everything I am, I give to you, Lord. Oh, holding nothing, I give my life to you. I give my heart to you. Oh.